All right, welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can match with New York City's kind of eligible. But today we have a very special cocktail hour episode, and I'm super excited to finally have Julia Mashi on the podcast. She runs a membership club, which I'm super interested to hear about, but she's also New York City influencer, socialite, like it girl. So Julia, can you tell me a little bit about sort of where you're from, kind of what you're doing, how old you are, where in the city do you live?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, thank you so much. I've been so excited about this. Being like newly single has been a really exciting experience, honestly. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm like so psyched to talk about everything. So I'm 29. I'm 29 actually on Friday.
Ooh, so happy early birthday.
Thank you. I'm really excited about like growing up. It's a really like exciting thing. So I have no problem saying I'm 29 already. I'm from Brooklyn, actually, which is a kind of misconception. People think that I just grew up in the city. I didn't. I had a kind of very nice separation between like city life and like, you know, my kind of laid back Brooklyn life. So that was great. And now I live in Soho. I lived in the West Village pre-pandemic, lost my apartment there, moved into Soho because I found a place that was like more COVID, you know, COVID pricing. And I've just been absolutely loving living in Soho. I thought it would be too busy for me, but it's amazing. And then for work, I run a membership club called Casa Cipriani. So if you're familiar with the global brand Cipriani, this is kind of their new baby. So it's a private members experience. We're not open yet. We'll open in July and it's going to be fantastic. It's something I've been working on for a really long time.
Oh, very exciting.
So exciting. So really psyched to launch that. You know, I like to do the influencer thing. I'm really connected with social media. I think social media can be a really great place if you find a good and healthy way to use it. So yeah, I like to use my platform, you know, as my additional kind of work/hobby thing.
That's awesome. So you said you grew up in Brooklyn. Where in Brooklyn did you grow up?
I grew up in Bay Ridge, actually. So like the Duchess of Bay Ridge, like Wolf of Wall Street.
So you totally must have had that separation then between city life and Bay Ridge. It's not like you were, you know, growing up in Dumbo.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I went to a private school. So we kind of intermingled with, you know, all the other city schools, like the ones that are referenced, I would say, in Gossip Girl, things like that.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Poly Prep. So it's also in Brooklyn. It was very sports oriented, very, very different from the other kind of private New York City schools. But so thankful I went there. I had the best experience ever.
So you went to Poly, and where did you go to college?
I went to FIT, actually, thinking that, like, you know, I was super into fashion and that, like, that's where I wanted to, you know, turn my career into. And I actually eventually realized that it was just a hobby. And that's like not what I wanted at all. As much as I love fashion, the industry is really tough. And I was like, I'm not out here saving the world. Like, why is everything so intense? I need to move on with my life. So, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get kind of roped into what you're doing now?
So I was working in events. I worked with all luxury brands. I've always been really interested in the health and wellness field. So after I transitioned from fashion, I went more towards like certain like luxury brands in the health and wellness space. But I also worked with some liquor brands. Like I really didn't kind of pigeonhole myself into anything. But I really enjoyed events. And then I had started to hear, I would say like January, February of 2020, that private members clubs were going to be a thing. And I was like, there's a lot of programming that goes on with private members clubs. Like I need to get my foot in the door here. This is going to be like the new wave of social culture in New York City. And I want to be a part of it. And so I just started trying to figure out what was going to happen because they're very secretive about opening these places. So a lot of them are opening up. Like we are very secret. Like nobody really knows too much about Casa Cipriani. So it was kind of a process trying to figure out who was coming to New York in terms of like all these private members clubs. And then once I kind of landed and found out about Chip, it was very natural and organic because they've been a part of my life for so long. And that's what happened. But of course, events aren't happening right now. So I've been working exclusively on the membership and sales side, just kind of building out the program and what it's going to look like there. And it's been new and interesting and super learning experience, but amazing. I love my job.
Yeah. Events is such a huge part of membership clubs. Like I've definitely seen it like being a part of what I am. Like it's interesting because like my family's from India and member clubs are actually a really, really big thing in India. They have been part of the social scene since like, well, British colonialism, and that just sort of stayed.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. There are a lot of like members clubs in India, and it's a big part of the social scene there. And they opened a Soho House in India too, because it's like, it was such a natural fit.
Yes, I did know that. I feel like we're late here to the game here in New York.
One question I ask all of my guests is, where do you like to go out in the city and where do you like to eat?
Ooh, I wish you asked me these ahead of time.
I know, it's hard putting you on the spot.
On the spot here. So one of my closest friends owns Lola Taverna, and I like to go to restaurants that I know and feel really comfortable at, that feel like home to me, especially in the pandemic. It's just been a lot easier, a lot more comfortable. I like to be taken care of. I know that sounds like so bratty, but like I do. I like to know that I'm going to go where it's easy, seamless. I'm very welcome. I'm very comfortable. So Lola's a big one. I kind of like grew up in Balthazar in New York. That was like my mom's and dad's stepdad's like favorite spot. Definitely like a great date night spot. Carbone is fantastic. Cipriani, obviously. And I'm a big sushi goer. So an omakase is like maybe my number one ideal date night, because it's like long, plenty of time to get to know each other. The alcohol is always flowing. Sake really like gets me talking. I think it's a really good move. It's super intimate too. I forgot what the other question was.
Where do you like to go out?
Ooh, that's interesting. So I like to have an earlier bedtime nowadays. So I still go out and I still party. I still enjoy myself. But I really think, you know, once Casa's open, I'm going to be spending so much time there. That's going to be like my social environment. And, you know, I hope more of these private members clubs pop up, because it's so nice to go to places like that and enjoy a conversation and like not be screaming in each other's ear like over really loud music. And I used to spend a lot of time at like Marquee and like Tao group spots and go to like clubs.
So like the loudest music.
Yeah. Like, while that's great every now and then, that's just like not where you're going to meet a new person or a new guy. And like with this new single life of mine, like I'm trying to make connections and meet people. And I think, you know, any cool bar or lounge where you can like hear people and has a good energy, I'm there, especially if they play like oldies, and I'm really there.
So, yeah, well, this is why we're really here, right? Like, you just said you're newly single. What happened? How new? How fresh is this?
So it's very complicated. So I was dating my ex for almost 3 years. So like, had we made it to this July, it would have been 3 years. And we were best friends for years and years and years before that. And I think that there's something to be said about having a friendship before a relationship. That being said, going into it, we didn't like start under the right circumstances.
Interesting.
There was like some jealousy involved. And like, I think we just were like getting jealous of like the friends of each other that we were like hooking up with. And then we were like, well, we should just try dating. And it just never stopped. Like, it just like got into this like very fun but very toxic cycle.
You said that you knew him before, you guys were friends. So how did you meet?
We met one summer in the Hamptons and had like a very quick relationship. One of the main reasons why I think it's so complicated now is the loss of that friendship. So our relationship was just seamless, easy, like you're hungover, I'm hungover, come over, let's like hang out together and be like slob kebabs together. And like, you know, you don't have many guy friends that you have that relationship with. Yeah, we always called each other and like, you know, kind of heavy circumstances. Like we were each other's like go-to person, which was so nice. I just think the timing wasn't right for us. He has a lot more growing up to do. He's 27 from Connecticut. I'm 29 from New York City. I think that those are vastly different types of people.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a 27 from Connecticut is like 20 from Connecticut.
Yeah, that's like a 20 from New York. From New York is like a 45-year-old woman. Like I feel like I'm right. Literally 60.
Right, exactly.
In wisdom.
So, exactly. And like experience and like maturity and just like I started clubbing when I was 16 years old and – he started working for Tao Group at 25 or 26. So all these things that I had experienced like 10 years prior that I was over and like not over, but like just kind of had out of my system, but still like to do occasionally. He was like loving
you.
To do
you had concept. Already experienced it. Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that's like the double-edged sword about growing up in New York. Cause I also grew up in New York and I also like, you know, started clubbing at the age of like 16 and then even by the time I was in college, I was like, I don't need to be like going out with a promoter and like going totally. Clubbing. Whereas like all of my friends were like, oh my God, New York City. And like, I want to go clubbing and I'm going to go with this promoter. And I felt like I was like past that part of my life. So I can't imagine like in a relationship what that must have been like.
Yeah, dating one. It was tough. It was tough. And, like, him having to be around girls all the time. Like, I'm confident to an extent, but, hey, that gets hard.
Yeah, that chips away at you. Like, people who are involved in the nightlife industry, like, that's a tough one. Because, like, one, the hours are later. And then, two, it's just, like, there are women around all the time. It doesn't matter how
drunk
secure
women.
You are. Yeah.
Thirsty women.
Thirsty women. Like, yeah, that's... it's not an easy thing to navigate in any relationship. It doesn't matter how secure you are.
Right. Yeah. So there are lots of different little things, but, you know, it's tough losing a friend first and foremost. So, you know, hopefully we'll be friends again. I'm friends with all my exes, so I think we'll get there.
You said that it was kind of toxic. Like, what about it was toxic?
I think, you know, like what we just talked about, his job. And his hours. And I you know, deal with a lot of anxiety, like a lot. And I lost my dad when I was quite young. So I always felt like I had this like strange abandonment issue. And so for him, when he would like leave at night, I couldn't sleep until he got back, which was typically at like 4 a.m. And then for me to try to like function and do my own work and live my own life, like that was very tough. Additionally, I just felt like, you know, like I said, the maturity level wasn't there. So it was a lot more take than it was of like a reciprocal relationship. And that, like you said, it chips away at you after some time. It got very frustrating. And I felt a little like taken for granted after some time. And so you go through like the phase of like, I'm really angry. Okay, now I'm really disappointed. Now I'm really sad. And then it just turns to like complete numbness.
Yeah. So who ended it?
I did. But here's why.
What?
It was really crazy. So he had gone down to like visit his family for Christmas and was there like up until New Year's, like New Year's Eve. And so right before that, like while that was going on, I kind of was like home alone after like this whole pandemic of not being without him. And in that short span of time, I was kind of like, wow, I'm starting to feel really like good on my own and like free and like a way that I didn't realize that I could feel. And so when he got back, I decided like I couldn't go into the new year without having this conversation with him and just like laying it all out there and letting him know how I feel at least, which kind of turned into like maybe we should go on a break. Maybe we should at least not live together. But then I don't know. I didn't feel like he internalized it well enough and that he was doing enough to change. And so after like a month, or two, about a month and a half, I was like, okay, you have like to go, essentially. Yikes. Because I could tell he was like not making arrangements to move out, not, you know, not hearing what I was saying and acting on it. Like he heard me, he for sure heard me, But I think he was just like, if I pretend like I didn't hear it, then maybe I don't have to do anything about it and she'll just like get over it. And like that was clearly not happening. And so, yeah, so I don't even know like when it officially ended, but I have to say like probably January, February.
Well, how have the last like 3 months been for you?
Really exciting. Like, of course, I have – everybody has low points, right? Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how, you know, confident I'm feeling, how excited I am about life right now. I have my low points. But in general, like, I've been dating and I've been, like, just enjoying it. Like, here's the thing. Like I said, turning 29 – and I never used to, like, fuck around. Oh, I don't know if I can curse. I never used to, like –
Yeah, you can. It's fine.
Like, is this PG-13? Because that's a problem.
No, you're fine.
I never used to, like, just have a good time. Like, just go out and have fun and not think about, like – I was always very conscious of, like, well, if is this guy going to, like, respect me? Like, do I have his respect? Like, now I'm at this point where I'm like, well, fuck it. What about me? Like – what if I don't like, what if I just want to have a good time? What if I just like want to go on a couple dates with a guy and like make out and then like not ever see him again? Like, what if I just want that for me?
Hot girl summer.
Hot girl summer. And it's the last time, I hope, I pray to God that this is the last time in my life where I have the opportunity to do this. So I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, 100%. At what point after you broke up were you like ready to start dating again?
Almost. Pretty quickly.
Pretty
I'm trying to like not be an asshole, but I checked out really early. And you know,
you
at a certain
ready.
Point you start like fantasizing about what your life could be like with other people. And mm-hmm. once I was out, I was like, all right, I'm ready to like explore and meet other people. Not necessarily for a relationship, but just to like get just have a good time, like be treated the way that I felt like I wasn't treated in this relationship.
So how have you met people? It's been a weird time because it's like still tail end of the pandemic. Like, are you on dating apps or are you just meeting people in person?
So I re-downloaded Raya literally yesterday after years. And I'm a little mm-hmm. freaked out by it, like making my profile was super intimidating. I don't know how long I'll last. But for me, meeting people is really organic. I'm constantly out meeting people, schmoozing, trying to make connections. I'm a big networker. It's part of my job. So, you know, meeting people, getting to know people, like, you know, piggybacking off of the new people I meet, like that's just – it's just what I do. So it's been really organic. That being said, the one person that I'm – super interested in right now and I'm seeing, I've known for a really long time. So it's like another person who's like, I've known, but we didn't have that kind of ever relationship or connection or friendship or anything like that. And now like someone I've known for maybe 10 years is like, you know, I'm making now a connection with them. So I know a bajillion people. I just don't know who's like, who fits into my life yet. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, that it's really interesting because it's like the possibility of you having met the person you might, you know, spend the rest of your life with, if that's the goal, might have already happened.
Right. It's scary.
It's so weird. And I think about it too, like the way that people swipe on dating apps, and it's like we're just conditioned now to like keep swiping because we're like in a way we're still looking. But it's possible that somebody we've swiped on in the past and who's just like sitting there in your dating app, like might have been a person that you would have really connected with.
Scary. So, that's why dating apps freak me out so much. Cause I'm like, yeah. How am I supposed to know? I'm supposed to look at your photo and like check, like, read all these like checked off boxes, like per your career and your hobbies. And I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, dating apps are not built really for people who are like, they're not built for the mass amount of people who like actually want to look for a relationship. I've said this a million times on my podcast. It's like all of these apps have enough data to be able to say like, this is the kind of person I think you'll like. Like, let me serve them up to you on a silver right? platter. But, like, they're not going to do that because they want to make money. So why would they, like, help you get off the app? Like, you're another person who just helps them make money. So at the end of the day, it's kind of like it works. Like, I don't discount them at all. Like, I'm on every dating app under the sun. And it's like
– Are you?
Yeah,
right,
literally.
You're going to have to tell me which ones are, like, worth it or, like –
Oh, my God. This is so subjective because it's like I'm on every dating app because, like, one, the podcast, I feel like I need to be. But two, it's like a different flavor for every single app. It's like Tinder, I would say, is so kind of like rudimentary and in a way like primitive because it's pretty much just photos. And I think it's way more of just like a grab all. Like, every single person I think at some point has had Tinder, so there's just like a million people on it. Tinder's more popular in other countries, I will note that. So like, if you're in Europe, Tinder's better if you're in Europe than it is like if you are in the States. I think Bumble is like, I personally like Bumble, but like that's because I don't like Hinge, and a lot of people love Hinge.
I was just going to say here, Hinge is like the one.
Yeah, Hinge is like the app. You know, I give all of these apps way too much airtime. Like, they should probably sponsor me. But
hell yeah.
Like, Hinge, personally for me, I have two qualms with Hinge. Prior to like this year, I just felt like with Hinge, I kept getting the same, like, this sounds really bad. And not that I have anything against like these kinds of men, but I just like kept getting Indian guys, and like I'm Indian, and like that's not a bad thing. I'm just like, if I wanted like just Indian people, like I would be on like an app for just Indian people. And right. I think just the algorithm was probably like, I know a lot of Indian men like look for Indian women, and so maybe they were like prioritizing that for me. I have no idea.
Is there not a way that you can specify that that's not your criteria?
Yeah, so you can, like, filter out race, but that, like, was a very weird moral dilemma that I didn't want to, like, because I'm not interested in Indian guys. I was just like,
right,
I don't
but wanna, just like is there not a, like, a, I'm interested in any type of race or any, like, you can't choose that?
So you can say that you're interested in all, but it, like, will still for other people if they had, like, prioritizations. That's why I think dating apps are so flawed. It's like, you don't know who you're going to connect with. Why are you like checking off all of these boxes and already limiting yourself? Right. So, I mean, that was in the past, but now Hinge actually has, I think they've changed. I think more people like don't, the only people I know who really like Hinge are the ones who pay for it. So.
Why? What happens when you pay for it?
So they have this new feature on Hinge called like standouts, and it's like, you get one rose, like a virtual rose you can give a week to somebody in your standouts. And these standouts are like the exact kind of guys that you would want to go out with. They're like exactly your type. Like, so this is Hinge basically saying like, we know exactly what you want and who you like, but we're not going to give them to you.
Unless you pay for it.
Unless you pay for it, essentially. Yeah.
I mean, how much is it? I'll pay.
So with Hinge, like, you can – you get, like – I think it's $30 a month, which is kind of ridiculous because, like, I think Raya's, like, 8 or 9 and, like, Lox Club is, like, 12. Like, Hinge is 30. Mm-hmm. In the grand scheme of things, like, I spent $42 on a vodka soda at Gatano the other day. So, like, that's – I was like, okay, I should have
– they're out there giving you your man – then I'll pay $30 for my man.
I know. So I'm like, I'm debating if I come back to New York, maybe I'll pay for it as like a as a an experiment to see if it works out. But yeah, I think now Hinge just kind of like prioritizes pushing their paid version because they're like, you're going to get a much better product. So between like Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, I think Bumble and Hinge are the most popular. Hinge is the most popular in New York. And what I say to people who are like, oh, apps like Raya or The League or Lox Club, like these apps that are more exclusive, most people who have one of those apps like have Hinge or Bumble. So it is like you probably will come across them at some point on some dating app. Like, very rarely do people just have, like, just have Raya, you know?
Right. Like me, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
But you just started. I'm here to guide you.
I know. I feel like I just learned a lot, actually. And I do. I know you don't like Hinge, but I think I'm going to download it. And I think
you should. $30. You should download it. Try it for like a week without paying for it. And then if you're like, okay, wait, like, why not? Let me just pay for it. Then like, see what happens. Okay. So the thing about Hinge historically, like before any of this, Hinge's immediate premise was that they would match you with friends of friends. Like, you had to have some sort of connection for you to like see each other on the feed. And that was what Hinge was like when they first launched, like 8 years ago or whatever it was. They got rid of that now because obviously that's not like sustainable. But I think that's why, like, I know somebody who just got engaged and met her fiance off of Hinge, but they met like 6 years ago when that was the case.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have not heard that about any other dating app. So I'm giving Hinge a lot of credit right now, and I think I'm going to try it. I think I'm going to download it right after we're done.
Download it. Let me know.
Guys listening, find me on Hinge.
Yeah, find her on Hinge. Well, honestly, the real dating app, and you tell me if this is true, like for you, is Instagram.
Okay, let's get into that because – I do not have the same experience that my girlfriends have on Instagram. Like, the people – no one's ever slid into my DM ever before I recently became single. Now people are, but they are not
– people you would want to date.
No. No.
Yeah.
And if they are, they're, like, people that I already know. And I'm like – so then – so it's just – there's really no difference. Like, they could text me. They could – you know, they could – find me some other where they're not like people who are finding me on Instagram. They're like friends I already have, people I'm already acquaintances with and are asking me out. But like, I don't get good DM slides. I'm pretty upset about it.
Have you ever considered sliding into someone else's DMs?
I've done it.
You've done it?
Were you successful? I was successful. I was younger. This is like before my ex, right before him actually. There was a really hot guy, and I just shot my shot.
and it worked.
Yeah, we hooked up for a little while. It was nice.
So why don't you do that again?
Because it was just for like a good fun time. I don't know. I guess I should.
Do you think social media is like a hindrance, or do you think it helps?
I mean, I think it can be. The thing about me is that I am very honest on my Instagram. I think I'm like almost too honest. I talk about mental health. I talk about, you know, having autoimmune disease. I show every aspect of me. So I do feel like I do a pretty good job at like portraying who I am accurately. Like, you know how there's people have been doing that question box that's like, post, you know, your assumptions about me. Have you seen influencers do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did it and I actually felt like 95% of them were like accurate, like spot on, which made me feel really good. I was like, okay, that's I represent myself well here. So I think for some people it really can be, because a lot of people do only post like the most good parts, right? I try
the
not
the highlights,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, the highlights, exactly. I try not to do that. Yeah, I don't think I have like an issue with social media in that way. But I can see that for other people for sure.
What about like for a potential partner? Like, would you rather somebody not be on social media?
Oh, or yeah.
Do you not care?
Oh, yeah. I hate boys who are on social media. That shit is so unattractive. Right?
Yes. I just think it's so funny because everybody I talk to is like, I really want a guy who is not on social media.
My ex is so on social media. It is insane. Like, it's insane.
Really?
Like, I don't know what he's up to anymore because I have him blocked. But like, all of my girlfriends know what their exes are doing because they can see through his story. I'm like, you don't have to post every goddamn thing you do. Like, it's just not cute for guys to be on social media. It really just isn't. I appreciate social media as like a tool for women to have like really amazing careers.
You don't think guys can have careers?
I think they can if they have like a brand or something that they're promoting. But like to be like a guy Instagram model is like the most unappealing thing to me. Like, bro, your ego is enormous. Honestly. You are not well. Stay away from me.
Truly. Like, literally, really? Like, honestly, I think about, like, are you on TikTok?
Yes, but I'm not that good at it, but yes.
But, like, I think about this when I see, like, TikTok thirst traps where I'm, like, watching. And it won't even be, like, a thirst trap. It doesn't have to be a guy, like, with his shirt off or doing whatever. But it is, like, I feel like there's this whole subgenre on TikTok where it's, like, just, like, attractive boys. Like, they don't need to be, like, model hot. They just need to be, like, cute in some way. And then they just, like, do something
At the camera. Yeah, and you're literally. Like, holy shit, I'm going to pay you $5,000 for your wink. And, like, like, I'm just like, wait, what, who are these creatures? Like, what's going on? I can't get with it. I can't get with it. I just – It's not good for men's egos. It's just not.
No. Like, they'll literally, like, wink in the camera. Or they'll, like, it'll be a video of them, like, fixing their shirt or something like that.
It's so much sexier for you to not need that validation.
Yeah. Do that for the most mundane thing.
At home. Don't do that for everybody on the fucking internet.
And beyond that, like, what really gives me the ick is just, like, thinking about them making it. Like, setting up the computer and like owning a ring light, like
get out of here.
Like, that's immediate. I'll like watch it and be like, oh, that guy's hot, and then I'll be like, oh my god, wait, but he recorded this video.
Right. It's not a good situation. And you know what? I can't do that stuff either. Like, I use Instagram. I do. But like, I'm not posting these, like, I can't make TikToks like that. I can't, like, do stuff like that. So, like, I could never date a guy who could do that stuff.
Yeah.
Too much. I think it's so sexy for a guy not, like, I actually think it is, you are wife or husband material if you do not have Instagram. Like, how rare is that?
So rare.
It hardly exists. And, like, I think at a certain point, like, I could be done with Instagram when I meet the right person. But I do find it to be like a very important networking tool for me right now.
Yeah.
And it makes me a little extra money. So no shame in that.
No, totally. I mean, I say to some people sometimes, like, if I didn't need to have an Instagram for like all of the stuff that I do, then I might not have one. Like,
absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel like Instagram is going to come to an end in terms of like, I don't know. Like, everything has its shelf life. There's always going to be something else.
I agree. So. I hear a lot of influencers saying, like, Instagram is getting really boring, really saturated. Like, it's just not the way it used to be. It's losing its sex appeal a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But
especially for influencers, like, I feel like it's getting harder to make money off of Instagram, like, prior to what it used to be. So because there's just, like, less engagement, but I don't know. There's always something new. There's always something new.
I know.
But that being said, do you have a type then? If you don't like guys who you know, aren't on social media?
I don't necessarily have a type, but I think like if I were to create my picture perfect man, right? Like, let's just do this for fun. He is really tall, like soup, because I'm very tall. And having a guy just sexually be able to like be bigger than me is very appealing. So that I really like.
How tall are you?
I'm almost 5'10". So I'm like a tall girl and I like my heels. I've been going on dates with really tall men. That's why I'm really thinking this, and I've been loving it. Like, it's just so sexy to stand next to a man who's like so much taller than you. It's like, ah. But not a requirement. It would be nice.
Okay. A want would be tall.
A need at this point is older. They have to be older. And I have to say, like, I think 33 is the youngest I'm willing to date. Like 32, 33 is the youngest I'm willing to date.
Why do you say that?
I would even say that that might be too young. Like, I just feel like anyone under the that age, that early 30s, has really not matured enough. Because men mature slower. Oh, my God. Can I speak? Men mature more slowly than women do. So, like we were saying earlier, like a New York 29 girl is really like 35.
Yeah.
And then like a New York like 33 guy is like 35.
Do you want to date somebody who's from New York?
I want to date somebody who is established and like comfortable in New York because I am never leaving.
Yeah.
Like yeah. I want to raise my family in New York. I'm not going freaking anywhere. Like, yes, maybe we'll leave at some point for a little while. Like I would love to live in Italy at some point in my life, but like probably after I've had my kids and raised them here.
Yeah.
But like I would never live in LA. I would never live in Miami. And where the hell else is there to go within this in the country? I would maybe live in London.
So you sound like you literally sound like me. You sound like every quintessential like born and raised New Yorker. I'm like, I'm gonna live in New York and raise my family here. Maybe I'll live in Europe for a little bit.
Yeah. But it's like genuinely how I feel. Like if I didn't leave in this pandemic, I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it. And I need like my partner to feel as in love with and as connected to, because New York raised me and made me who I am. And I can always tell when I leave this city that I'm such a New Yorker, that I'm so just, you know, my blood like screams it. Like people are always like, dear God, like, are you okay when you leave New York? Because like, you're like, I don't do well the countryside. I don't do well like in like nature.
Oh,
like I'm like, there's these sort of concrete everywhere. Like what literally are these things?
I don't like nature. Like, no. Like I'm fucking crazy. I don't like nature. So you need a guy who's like established New Yorker, tall, and in some aspect I would imagine successful and ambitious, and like, because I feel like those are all things that come with wanting like somebody who's successful in New York, is somebody who can like, it's just part of the New York personality for somebody to be like ambitious and have things going on for them and like goals.
I can very much hold my own here. And I've dated guys who like need a lot of hand holding. And it's just, I used to be the type of person who wanted to like save guys, you know, like I dated like guys who like needed a lot of hand holding, a lot of help. And it like, I think it was like for me, something that made me feel good, but I'm not at that point in my life anymore. And like, I very much want to be on the same level with the guy I'm dating, and like they need to be able to hold their own as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And like, I like a hardworking guy, like someone who's like super motivated. I don't necessarily care if like you're where you need to be now because we're young still, but just like on the road.
Yeah. Like have goals,
have, you know, yeah. Yes, exactly. Have a path.
Have you ever had like, are you the kind of person who like jumped from relationship to relationship, or were you like, you know, ever playing the field?
No, I am kind of a serial monogamist.
Yeah.
I really like being in relationships. But like I said, I think now that I do really feel like this is going to be maybe hopefully the last time in my life that I'm single, I want to enjoy it.
Prior to your relationships, like, you said you're a serial monogamous. Did you ever have like a single phase though? Like, do you ever go on any crazy dates or meet any like really crazy fun people, or just awful dates? Like, what are?
Oh yeah, of course.
Have any good stories for us?
I gotta think about that though. But I did, like, I would always, even like when I was on Raya, right? If I met someone on Raya, I would date that person for like 3-4 months. And like really get everything out of them and vice versa. Like, you know what I mean? Like I would just enjoy them for as long as I possibly could. And then when it was over, it was over. Then I move on to the next one.
Anything that you can tell like our listeners maybe to avoid, any like red flags or situations you've been in that you're like, Jesus, like that was insane.
I did one time, and like we've already kind of covered this, but I dated this super hot guy that I met off Raya, like so freaking hot. And we were seeing each other for like quite some time and it was really good. We never like fully committed to each other, but we did like everything together. We traveled together. We were very like public about like our whatever kind of relationship we were having. And he was supposed to meet me. I was in Aspen with my friends for New Year's. And he was supposed to meet me in Aspen to have New Year's together. And he straight up didn't show up. Like on New Year's Day, did not show up. And from Instagram, I saw that he had met this girl who was like the heir to this enormous fortune. And it was like the most transparent thing of all time. Like she was like not cute, like not his type, like was not a model, was like just like very not attractive girl, but like very, very wealthy. And he just decided that he had met this girl 3 days before and was going to get in with the family and be on her yacht with her family for New Year's in like St. Barts or something. And just didn't show up, didn't tell me nothing. And that was that.
That's psycho behavior.
Psycho behavior. And then ended up like dating her for like a little bit of time. And then just came back like when it was like over and was like, hey, like, how are you? And I was like, wait, what?
I was like, you're like, you need an institution. You've had some bad luck with New Year's.
I have. New Year's think, is like, not New it. There's too much pressure on New Year's. I always say that. New Year's has too much pressure. This year, I really just wanted to like sit at home and like drink champagne with my boyfriend that I was breaking up with and enjoy it together because it was going to be our like last thing. And he was like, no, I think we should go to a party. And I was like, all right, we're going to a party. But I just like offered you a really nice thing as like a goodbye. But like, no, guess not.
But no, like... What was, like, the worst date you've ever been on?
The worst date I've ever been on. See, I have this thing where I block things out when they're really bad. Like, I just, like, I'm just, like, forget about it. It never happened. Just move right along. It's all good.
What about the best?
That's an interesting one. The best date I've ever been on. Ah, so tough. I can't like remember dating. That's the thing. Like it's been such a long time since I've dated and now I'm just getting back into it and I haven't had like a mind-blowing date yet. That's like worth discussing.
Well, when you were in your relationship, like what were things that you kind of were red flags for you that kind of made it like I'm done with this?
Yeah. So I became like totally numb. That was like the first thing. Like I didn't care if he had done something fucked up or like didn't, was like partying all night long or like whatever it was. I was just like, I just don't fucking care anymore. Like numb, totally complacent. After that, the sex, when sex was out of the picture, that I was like, I have no sexual desire and I'm a very sexual sensory person. Like when I like someone, I like to like constantly be holding hands and I love kissing and like I'm just like, I love touching. Like touch to me is like part of my love language. And so
yeah,
when I just like didn't want to be touched at all, like I was like, okay, this is a huge problem. And it honestly, it started scaring me a lot. I was like, am I like no longer a sexual person? Like is something wrong with me? And I remember like talking to some of my friends about it. I was like, we're not having sex. And like, I have no desire. Like, am I ever going to be like a sexual person again? And they were like, it's just the relationship.
Was there any desire though? Like, were you seeing maybe other people and you were like, oh, like I can maybe have desire like for this person, or it was just like completely gone?
No, no, no. I couldn't. No, I was just like, I felt like a dead person like down there. I was like, I don't even know if I have, like, I was like, I'm
that's
not sure,
terrifying.
Like, what the fuck is, yeah, it was terrifying. It was terrifying because I am, like, I'm such a sexual person, and, like, yeah. I was so upset. That being said, once we broke up, we saw each other, like, twice after and had sex, and it was, like, great. We had great breakup sex.
Because it's, like, the emotional baggage has been like unburdened and then you're not like everything else that's like I guess like physically and literally drying it up is like gone.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
there's less stress,
right?
So that makes sense.
Yes, very complicated. So Don't do that, everybody. Don't
I was about to say, it makes sense, but that doesn't seem like the healthiest thing.
No, that got very, very complicated very, very quickly. It was like, it was just crazy. So I was like, okay, now I block you on everything. You disappear into the darkness. And
yeah, at what point, like, do you usually block exes or?
You kind of have to, especially like with an ex like mine. So? Like, he's so public. Like, he, I told you, he fully uses social media. He needs to like fucking post everything he does. And it's, and aside from that, like, I would like check to see who's newly followed him. And like, there would be like so many new girls every single night because like, even though nightlife wasn't open, he like somehow found a way to like still be promoting and like doing like promoter stuff. So he's like, he's still like constantly just meeting these like thoughty Instagram models. And like, I'm just so like,
you didn't say he was a promoter.
Yeah, he's a promoter.
You were dating a promoter?
I told you he was out till 4 a.m. every night. Yeah.
Julia, you said he worked for Tao Groups.
He was a promoter.
What were you doing dating a 27-year-old promoter?
I don't know.
I mean.
I hate everything. Look. I'm pouring myself another glass of wine. I'm stressed out. He wasn't a promoter when he started dating, when we started dating, just by the way.
Okay.
He was like just moving to New York and then he started like working for Tao. And like, I was like, oh, this isn't going to last. And by the way, if it does, like, it's not going to work for me. But I let it go on for 3 years because I wasn't like secure enough to get out of that relationship. I was like, no one else is ever going to love me like this. But meanwhile, I feel like a lot of that love just came from the security that he got from me. In terms of like us living together and like the introductions that I could make for him in New York and things like that. Like, I got to the point where I was like, is this love or is this like convenience?
That sucks because it's also like, because you're somebody who is, you know, so connected in New York and like, that's something you love to do is like be a connector, make connections, like to be in a relationship and have that play into the dynamics of it. Feels really like teetering. There, obviously, like, you should be in a relationship and like be able to introduce your significant other to their friends and vice versa, and like that shouldn't be an issue. But if it becomes like a, I don't know, I see relationships and I see them being like intertwined somehow and sometimes with like personal and work and networking, and I'm like, this feels like not necessarily the healthiest thing.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough. It was, there was in some ways it was great because we were constantly bouncing relationships off one another and benefiting from, you know, from that lifestyle. And then in other ways it was like very, very toxic because we were constantly meeting people that maybe were more suitable for like our own individual, you know what I mean? For us to go off on different paths, which is why I go back to that we should have always been friends.
And I say this to a lot of people. It's like, people can come into your life really quickly and they can leave just as quickly. Mm-hmm. And in those in the times that you are together, like, they can have an impact on your life. You would have never anticipated the sort of impact that somebody has on your life when you just meet them.
Oh, absolutely.
So absolutely. You, by giving somebody a chance, like, even if they're maybe not what you think is like the best thing at the moment, like, I also say, like, you go on one date, if it's bad, give it a second chance. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's, unless they are really fucking terrible, which like happens,
yeah,
and you're really not interested, if there's some inkling of interest still there, like, give it a second chance.
Absolutely. The second date, by the way, is very telling. Very easy to go on a first date, but the second date to me is always like a bigger deal.
Yeah, because it's like, I feel like the second date is more make or break. It's like, first date, okay, do I like you or do I not? And I feel like if I like you just even a little bit, like, I'm down to go out a second time.
Yeah. Yep.
And then second date, it's like, oh, do I actually like you?
Right.
And then once you're on third date, going, that's like serious.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And you can do more than just like get drinks.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I don't know. Dating is wild. I'm just like getting back into it. I don't know the rules. I don't know if there are rules.
I
I definitely made a few mistakes.
I mean, yes and no. I'm sure you know more than you think you do. Have you heard of the 0-1-2 scale?
No.
Okay. So zero would be like if a guy likes you and he's like, all right, I'm going to do everything to like go after this girl. Like I'm really into her, whatever it might be. A one is like, okay, I'm into her, but like I'm not going to pursue it. If she comes to me, then I'm down. And then a two is like, I'm not into it.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, I think it stands pretty true for most guys that it's like, all right, either they're really into it and they'll pursue you, they're not into it at all. And the only gray area is really like, okay, I'm into it, but I'm not going to put in the effort to like do that. And when you're at that kind of like one stage, it's like there's a obvious lack of, you know.
What would cause someone to make the one stage?
I mean,
don't you think that's just an immaturity thing?
It could be, but at the same time, like I'm sure you've also like I've been in relationships with people where I'm like, oh, I like him, but and it's fun and he's fun, but I'm not gonna like pursue him, or I'm not gonna like I'm just gonna let it ride. I don't know.
I can like, definitely think of some like ones that I'm like, you know, talking to right now.
Exactly.
Aren't making the move, but I genuinely just think that it's their ego or their maturity level.
Yeah. And it could be that, or it could be like, oh, you know, yeah, it could be a maturity level thing, but it's also like, maybe they're just not that into you. Not you specifically, yeah. But like,
no, maybe
100%. They're just not that, like not that interested. Well, because, and that's not the person for you then, you know?
Right. Totally. I have like the guys that like I go on proper dates with, the guys that I like go to drinks with, and then the guys that like hit me up at like parties
at night.
Like the weekend, yeah. When like, you know, that's like totally different. So
guys will show you their intention. Like they will.
Right.
You can't force their hand into doing anything you don't want to do.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Which is so hard.
I see so many of these girls make this mistake where it's like, they like will pick up on like one little thing that like a guy does and they're like, oh, he likes me. Like I should keep like pursuing this like one small little thing that they did. And like, it's just like, no, take it at face value. Like guys are so simple in the way
they're so simple. They're so simple.
Especially in the way that they show like, you how they feel. It is cut and dry. Like just like you said, it's 0, 1, or 2. So true.
Yeah.
I love this scale. I use this all day long.
Exactly. The scale is simple because men are simple.
Yeah.
But women are not simple. And we get into our heads and we overanalyze things. And that's what makes things complicated. And that's not a bad thing. Like, we should be emotionally intelligent. We should be able to, like, give into our emotions and want to think things and, like, also expect the best out of somebody. But it's just, like, that's not the way that I feel like most men think. And I might be generalizing, and there might be guys who are listening to this and they're like, that's not me. Okay, well then maybe that's not you, but in my experience, like,
yeah, guys are also very in denial. So if you think it's not you, check again.
Yeah, check again.
Probably you.
So that being said, like, there's no rules. I think the biggest thing, and I see it with time and time again with girls that I know, and I see it with myself too, because I see myself falling into these patterns where I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm going to give up my, like, morals or my self-respect just to, like, put myself out there in a way for somebody that might not care as much for me. It's all about respect. It's all about seeing if they, like, value you, your time, and they respect you as a person. If somebody is just like hitting you up on Instagram or reacting to your stories or sending you Snapchats and doing nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yeah.
Or like be there for that. Be like here for it and be like, okay, like we can have a really fun sexual relationship, but like clearly that's all he wants from me. So like I need to be on board or off board. And I just, not changing his mind.
Yeah, manage expectations if you're going to get into a relationship like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So I end every episode with something called shots. So I'm going to ask you rapid fire this or that question.
Yes. I'm so excited. Okay, let's go.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Like in terms of what? Like going to bed?
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm an early bird.
Okay. Work hard or play hard?
Ooh, work hard.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Coffee or drink state?
Drinks.
Drinks first.
Drinks first.
What's your favorite season?
Spring.
What is your drink of choice?
A dirty martini.
What's your favorite song at the moment?
Ooh, Lifetime by Justin Bieber. So romantic.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Ooh. that's so hard. I would name it. I'd probably name it Tallulah. That's the nickname my mom calls me.
Oh, that's cute. Year. What's your favorite sex position?
Ooh. Oh, my God. I like them all. I don't know. I don't know. I just like really out of the box stuff. Is that a position? Okay. I'm purple.
It can be a position.
Out of the box stuff, like stuff that I can't even name.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
A fucking 12.
Thank you so much for being on. This was so much fun. I'm glad we finally got to do this.
Me too. Thank you so much.
And Julia, where can my listeners find you?
On Instagram at julia.moshy, M-O-S-H-Y. And at Pretty Anxious Blog. That is my kind of mental health everything blog. So, or Instagram page, actually. Maybe one day it'll be a blog.
Cool. And are your DMs open?
My DMs are open. Yes.
Maybe sure. Let's see if Why we can not? Get you some slides. Let's see.
Okay. My DMs are open. Do you feel the same?
The is it morning yet? Deal. How about now? Or now? Because morning time is McDonald's breakfast time. And that's the best time of all the times.
Wake up with a little splash of sweetness. Get any size iced coffee from caramel to hazelnut to French vanilla for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.